Today, we've got a summery food show lined up here on KCUR's Central Standard. When the critics get here in just a little while, we'll launch into a search for the best festival foods around. So if you hit a lot of festivals and fairs this time of year, and there's something you always look forward to eating, you gotta call us up, whether it's fried on a stick or not. But first, the 4th of July weekend is coming up, and we've been thinking about all the bicyclists riding the Katy Trail across Missouri. Our next story does take us there, specifically to the Hotel Frederick in the small town of Boonville. And when we get there, we're going to have black walnut ice cream, but the story actually starts with an accident on Southwest Boulevard. I'm Gina Kaufman and Chef Calvin Davis. Good morning.
Good morning, Gina. How are you?
Good. So, okay, you had just opened your own restaurant, a place called Freshwater. Tell me about it, like the concept behind it.
Yeah, so I think it's every chef's dream, and if they tell you it's not, they're probably lying, that they want to do a small tasting menu focused restaurant, you know, with the focus being on their food. So that's, I finally got the chance to do it, and it was, you know, off to a better start than I even anticipated. It was really great.
And this was on Southwest Boulevard.
Southwest Traffic Way.
Sorry, yeah. Southwest Traffic Way.
It's okay. Yeah. So, and still is, fortunately. So it's just, you know, that's what we did. We were just doing our food the way we wanted to do it, our service the way we wanted to do it. And
why was it called? It is still called Freshwater. Why is that?
Because, well, we're 100% local. We keep ourselves to a super, super strict focus on locality, but part of that is we only use freshwater fish. And that comes from, you know, being in New York. I was in New Orleans for a while working with all this ocean fish. I kind of had the thought, like, you know, back in Missouri, we have freshwater fish, and I feel that, you know, it could be elevated to this level, but nobody's doing it. So that was the original concept. Now, you know, it's about 25% of our menu, but it is all we use. So
you had just opened in your first location, and one morning, this is like 6 weeks after you open, get things up and running, there's a phone call.
Yeah, actually it was a knock on my door from my dad. And he said, we got to get down to the restaurant. There's been an accident. And you know, we didn't know what was happening at that point. He had gotten a phone call from his sister who had seen it on the news. We had no idea about, you know, what the damage was like or anything.
This was a car accident. Can you explain what had happened?
Yeah. So 3 a.m, drunk driver going 70 miles an hour down traffic way, clips a tow truck, goes flying and basically hits the restaurant at the point to do the most damage possible. The damage was worse than we could ever thought. It completely destroyed the dining room. Thank God no one was in the restaurant at the time, obviously, at 3. So then it was calling all the reservations, and because we were booked, you know, basically a month out. So telling everyone what happened and then figuring out what we were going to do next. We didn't really have any idea. So
this must have been like a really emotional moment for you after all the work of opening a restaurant, plus just the emotional shock of an accident coming out of the blue like that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the kind of guy who I really like to have, especially in my, pretty much only in my professional career, but everything planned out kind of step by step. So that was really the first time in my life that I had no idea of what was going to happen next.
Now, I do want to make sure our listeners know you eventually opened Freshwater again.
We're
you reopened
fine now,
this spring.
Yeah. we reopened May 4th. The reception has been even better than it was the first time around. In the same location, the neighborhood's been great. Kansas City is... And I will say that's one thing that came out of the accident. The support we got from the community of Kansas City was absolutely stunning. It's why I love being here and why I came back after years of being away. So
we're going to get back to Freshwater and the happy ending part of this story in a little bit. But along the way, during this more unknown period where you didn't know how this was going to turn out, you had a stint at a restaurant at the Hotel Frederick in Boonville, Missouri. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was about 1 month after the accident. We were looking at maybe moving into a new space or kind of just figuring out what we were going to do. I got a phone call from the owner of the Hotel Frederick in Boonville, Bill Haw. And he said, you know, there's this restaurant here and we've been running it and we're not really sure of what to do with it. We know it's not what we want, but, you know, we want to change. So come out and see what you think. And, you know, my first thought is kind of like, Boonville, Missouri, that's okay. Don't know much about it. Sounds odd.
And you are actually from a small town yourself.
Yeah,
right?
I'm from Stockton. So, I mean, I love small towns. I mean, I grew up in a small town. So, then we get there and, you know, we see the downtown and it's super charming and cute and get into the hotel itself. And the building of the hotel, I mean, is just absolutely amazing. And it was pretty much like I just walk into the hotel room, kind of look around, drop my bags. I'm like, all right, I guess this is going to happen. So
what was it about the hotel? Can you describe in a little more detail, like what you saw that was like, man, this is really, I can do this.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the attention to detail of like the restoration they had done and keeping it historically accurate. And it just felt really warm and nice. And but also it was like, you know, it feels polished and it feels a little bit nicer.
So then the restaurant itself, I mean, this is a hotel that is really right on the Katy Trail. Did the restaurants cater to the traveling bicyclists, hungry bicyclists?
Yeah. I mean, and actually it was funny because when we were first talking about it, you know, they said, you know, I was kind of like asking, like, so what's the draw for Boonville? You know, I mean, there's a casino out there and, you know, I was just kind of trying to get the lay of the land. I said, well, we do a lot of business from the Katy Trail. And when I didn't know anything about that, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Your biggest business is from a bike trail. That's odd. But I had no idea. I mean, every day at 3 o'clock, the lobby like totally fills up. You know, they have events like Peddler's Jamboree and stuff where 8,000 people come into town. I mean, it's
what is that? Peddler's Jamboree?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great event. Actually, our social media company, LV Creative, that I use now, actually helps put it on, and they do just a great job of getting people into Boonville. It's a little ride just from Columbia over to Boonville. Nice, kind of easy thing, and then there's concerts all day, and it's really great.
So did you have – I've heard that people come in from all over the world to ride the Katy Trail. Did you have international diners?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we had people from Australia, you know, Eastern Europe, France, Germany, South America. I mean, and really, really cool people, you know, like really interesting people who do fascinating things with their life. So
give me one example of someone you met.
Oh man. Well, there was a night, it was September 11th. But it was just, it was an early weekday night. It was like Monday or Tuesday, and we were thinking about closing down early. And I'd done this project with my dad, and so it was just kind of him and I, you know, hanging. You know, we were kind of wrapping up stuff in the bar, and these two people came in. And they said, "Hey, can we get a bite to eat real quick and a drink?" And we're like, "You know, sure, no problem. We're happy to do it." And so they ordered some stuff, and then a couple other people kind of started to filter in. And you know, it eventually kind of became this really fun thing. And I was like, all right, you know, menu tonight is you can order a burger, or you can order the shrimp and grits. But we ended up hanging out with these people for like 4 hours talking to them. Turns out like half of them are like biochemical engineers. One of them was Jim Plunkett's center at Stanford, which great college football quarterback, if anybody knows that. But so yeah, and it was just like, you know, they had all these connections amongst each other and were just really bright, fascinating people. It's really cool.
What was it like to make food in a setting like that outside the city? But yet in some ways really connected to this international and very hungry clientele.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different than being in the city, without a doubt. But it was great, because what I felt my job was to showcase, you know, the cuisine of the Midwest, kind of from a historical perspective. You know, like the hotel was, you know, holding a part of the Midwest history, and so, but you know, I wanted to do it with my spin. I wanted it to be modern. So that was the kind of the whole idea, was just, you know, showcase, because a lot of people don't know, you know, what the cuisine of the Midwest is. So.
When you talk about showcasing the cuisine of the Midwest, it sounds like also you like to showcase what you think of as maybe food preparation methods of the Midwest. Does that carry over into what you do at Freshwater? I mean, it sounds like I've heard that you churn your own butter.
Yeah.
That is very Laura Ingalls Wilder of you.
Yeah, a little, it's for those who have done it, you know, it kind of strikes a chord with them. And then for those who have never done it, it just sounds so wild and exotic and interesting, you know, because it's just not something that most people think about doing.
Why do you churn your own butter? Why do you?
Because we can. I mean, no, and it does. I mean, it does taste better, and you can manipulate a little bit more, and you can do stuff like cultured butter, and you get you know, the buttermilk that is the byproduct of it, and it forces us to be more creative, and it forces us to be appreciative of it too. And it's not, we don't just use butter as a crutch and just throw butter into stuff because we have it, because you know, when you're making it, it's like, you know, do I really want to use butter for this? Because we're going to have to make more, and then, you know, that might put us behind here. So it just makes us think about food a little differently, which is what we're always trying to do.
So we're going to start talking about festival foods pretty soon. And you've talked about you grew up in Stockton. You worked for a while along the Katy Trail. I'm curious about, like, with your own Missouri roots, are there festivals that are especially dear to you?
Yeah, I mean, so in Stockton, Missouri, we are the largest producer of black walnuts in the world. I use a lot of black walnuts at the restaurant, and every year we have the Black Walnut Festival, or the Nut Fest, as it's affectionately known by locals. And my all-time favorite thing that I have to get every year that I'm there, which I'm not there as often as I would like to be, is black walnut ice cream. And then occasionally take that black walnut ice cream and put it into a float with sarsaparilla.
In the restaurant?
No.
Or just at home?
Just at home. Just at home. Although that's not a bad idea. We might have to get into making our own sarsaparilla.
Well, tell me, can you share your recipe with us?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, it's kind of a basic ice cream recipe. Quart of cream, 8 egg yolks, cup of sugar, half cup of sorghum, which the sorghum is what I think really makes the difference. Instead of using, like, you know, vanilla extract or something, it's both a sugar and a flavoring. And then, yeah, half cup of, or 3/4 of a cup of chopped black walnuts.
So, Chef Calvin Davis, what is it about black walnut ice cream that says Missouri to you?
I don't know that I could even separate tasting a black walnut without thinking of Missouri. I mean, because we do produce so many of them, and it's just been a part of my life from, you know, from my entire time growing up in Missouri. And honestly, I think if there's one thing that really tastes like Missouri, smells like, it feels like, for me personally, it's the black walnut.
Well, Chef Calvin Davis with us from Freshwater, which just reopened in Midtown on Southwest Traffic Way. Thanks so much. Thank you, and congratulations on your reopening.
Thanks, Gina.
Okay, so we are ready to talk more about festivals and fairs, Polish sausage, fried pickles, food truck fair, whatever you love. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the festival foods that make you feel like a kid this time of year. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned. This is KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and a couple of weeks ago, we hit the Boulevardia Festival in the West Bottoms to find out what people were eating.
I am eating a gyro from the Jerusalem food truck over there. Splendid. Got recommended, so I tried it. It's very good.
I am currently enjoying some fried pickles from the Street Wings vendor. They're pretty good. They're coated with lightly breaded. It looks like there's a good amount of dill in the coating. Served with like a ranch on the side.
All right, so I got some boneless wings because I didn't want to get my hands all messed up. But I got the Irish red sauce, which has some Killian's and some regular buffalo sauce mixed in. So it's a good, nice little change from the normal, just buffalo.
Oh, my goodness. What was that called again? A carne asada from Salty Iguana. Delicious, okay? I smashed the whole thing.
Boulevardia is kind of a newer, maybe kind of hipster-type festival, but festivals and fairs have always been places to sample foods that you don't always get to eat, things you carry around in a paper cone soaked with grease or on a stick. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the festival food you are obsessed with and where you get it, whether it's the new kind, the old kind. If there's a festival you hit specifically for the food, we need to know about that too. 816-235-2888. The food critics are here. Charles Ferruzza, good morning.
Good morning.
Carlton Logan, hi.
Hi.
And we also have a guest critic, Jill Silva, who joins us from time to time. She is a freelance food critic. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Tina.
So you guys, as far as like just generally speaking, festival and fair foods that like have a special place in your heart, can you talk to me about that? Is there something that like just this time of year you gotta go get it?
Yes, and I think one of the ones I think we've all are familiar with, and some people are not, is the Ethnic Enrichment Festival. I look forward to it every year. I look forward to the culture. I look forward to going through the shops, but I look forward to the food most of all.
Yeah. So all three of you have recommended the Ethnic Enrichment Festival. Why don't we start with that one? Carlton, what do you get to eat there?
Arepas, Norwegian kringle, because that's kind of hard to find. Pad Thai. I eat some of everything.
Jill?
The coconut macaroon at the Israel booth is just something I crave every year. It is just one of the most wonderful and also one of the largest macaroons I've ever had, and it is just fabulous. And I just have looked at the menu recently, and this year I think I'm going to actually hit up all the different booths that have lemonade and try to figure out what's different about lemonade from all these different countries.
Whoa, okay, so you're going to go on a lemonade tour of the world through the Ethnic Enrichment Festival.
I think I am, because I looked at the list and I started looking at drinks, and there are so many lemonades. So there's lemonade from Bangladesh, Croatia, Italy, Serbia, Turkey, Lebanon, Colombia. So I think with a half dozen different lemonades, I'm going to try to suss out what is different about every country's lemonade.
Are you going to go like 3 different days and have 2 lemonades at a time? Because, I mean, by the time you get to the 6th lemonade, Jill, you might be puckering a bit.
Oh, Gina, it's so hot out there, though. I need it for hydration. So I might be able to do it in one day, but I'm certainly willing to go back Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Charles, what about you? What is your Ethnic Enrichment Festival like
experience?
Fave?
I used to go every single year. Last year it was too hot, but it is a joy. There's 60 different cuisines to sample, and I never get to taste everything I want to really taste. No. And I'm wondering, Jill, if the Italian lemonade has basil in it, which actually sounds kind of good to me.
One of these is a spicy lemonade. I don't recall which country, but I want to know what spice is in there. I have seen saffron in lemonade before, basil in lemonade. Yeah. There's also a cherry lemonade, so that's a little more.
I'll take that one.
Yeah. There's lime variations. There's also drinks with coconuts and bananas and mangoes. And so you could go around the world just with drinks, but also there's fabulous food and the atmosphere is so wonderful.
And it smells, it is the most aromatic.
It is.
Wonderful. And that's one of the things I love about the outdoor festivals, whether they're food focused or not, like the Apple Festival in Weston, Missouri. They have an outdoor exhibition where they make apple butter in one of those big copper pots. Mm-hmm. And so the whole fair smells like freshly made apple butter. And after a while, it becomes so intoxicating, even if you don't like apple butter, which I generally don't. I'm dying for some. I'm dying for it.
Well, we have a caller who I want to turn to who has her own favorite fair food. This one from the Missouri State Fair, I think. Heather in King City, Missouri. Thanks for calling 816-235-2888. What do you want to recommend?
I like the corn dogs at the Missouri State Fair. Now, there's several corn dog makers there, but there's one in particular. And they don't work with the people that have the rides and stuff like that, the carnival part. This is away from the carnival part. And they just have the best corn dogs. And I've been going there. Well, I'm 47 years old, and I've been going there since the 70s for the very same corn dog.
Really? So, and you're saying there are lots of different corn dogs, but this one stands out to you?
It does. It really does. It just, they're local. They live there in Sedalia. I don't know what it is. It's probably a secret recipe, I'm sure, because it doesn't taste the same as the other ones. It's just sweet and really yummy and good quality of a hot dog under there. I usually don't eat hot dogs, but something about that corn dog just really grabs you.
Do you think it could be
when you walk in? Huh?
I wonder, do you think it could be that you've been eating this same corn dog since you were a kid? Do you think that maybe your affection for it is part of it? Or no, it's just like that good?
I think a little of both. Probably a little bit of both. Definitely. It's definitely the nostalgia of it. I've brought my kids and now my grandkids. They've all eaten the same little corn dog, so I guess it's almost become tradition now.
Well, thanks.
And it's good.
Do you know, do you happen to know the name of the vendor?
I don't. I just know it's by a pig place, by a pork chop place, and that's all I remember.
So the corn dogs
the name of it.
That are by the pork chops. Thank you so much, Heather.
That's right. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So Heather was calling about the Missouri State Fair and a corn dog that is near and dear to her heart. I think that the corn dog is a festival and fair food institution that we should talk about, as are all of the variations of things that are fried on a stick.
Including butter. I just want to say that I'm wondering if the corn dog that she likes so much is that foot-long corn dog, which I love the corn dogs at the State Fair. In fact, it's the only place I will eat them. But they have this foot-long hot dog that's a corn dog, and it does have a sweeter breading, if that's the right word, before it's fried. And it is just delicious, just fabulous. And put that one up for something I crave at least one a year.
Does anyone else have a corn dog memory or recommendation here?
I don't have a corn dog recommendation per se, but I think anytime you can walk around with something on a stick or in a paper boat or, you know, in your hands, that's exciting food. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to eat that way and
it gives you some social cachet, too.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Otherwise, most foods at fairs and festivals have to be kind of carry type of foods. You don't want to serve soup because it's kind of hard to walk and eat your soup, you know. So on a stick or handheld are generally the nice choices to have.
Now, Carlton, you are recommending in general and in specific deep fried Oreos.
Okay. So several years ago, this, if you know the history, you started seeing all these deep fried Twinkies and Oreos and butter. And I thought, that's horrible. That just doesn't sound good. Until I tried the deep fried Oreo. I love Oreos. And to have the Oreo dipped in like a funnel cake batter and fried and then dusted with powdered sugar and then a little chocolate sauce and sometimes some whipped cream. Oh my gosh, it's delicious. So I'm a fan now.
And this is a thing that you can find in a lot of places?
Yes, you find it at a lot of fairs and festivals, but you can also find it at Draft Cade in Zona Rosa, and they serve it with a vanilla bean ice cream, and it's drizzled with everyone's favorite Nutella.
Well, so, okay, you're recommending at fairs and festivals, but also at Draft Cade, deep-fried Oreos.
Yes, and they also have deep-fried Twinkies there as well.
Does anyone else have what might fit into the category of guilty pleasures at a festival or fair?
So many.
I eat a lot more fried food at festivals than I probably do during the rest of my life.
Well, so, okay, while we are with you, Carlton, I want to stick with you and talk about funnel cakes, because I think that's also a festival and fair classic.
It is. It is. And I first fell in love with, I seem to be going with a lot of nostalgia with the menus that we're talking, the food choices today.
But that makes sense. We just heard from a caller who's been going to the Missouri State Fair for her whole life. She's 47 years old. She's now taking her kids to the... I mean, this is a nostalgic activity.
It is. It is. So I worked at Worlds of Fun. I was one of those kids that worked at Worlds of Fun for the summer. And that's when I fell in love with the funnel cake. And it's basically this wonderful batter that's kind of squeezed into a vat of grease.
Through a funnel.
Through a funnel. Yes. And then again, it comes out and it's dusted with powdered sugar. And you can put fruit on it. You can put just whipped cream. You can drizzle with chocolate. And again, it's that, it kind of reminds you of eating like a donut. It's that kind of a cakey donut type of texture and flavor.
So what makes a good funnel cake in your mind? Is there a difference between a good funnel cake and a bad funnel cake? Charles is nodding yes.
You don't want to use old grease, and that batter has to be pretty good. It's got to be the right amount of sweetness. I think people have their different choices in terms of what they want on it. But yeah, good batter and good grease has to be good components.
The best funnel cake batter I've ever tasted had some form of like a carbonated beverage in it to make it really, yes. really light.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to ask about that.
Yeah.
Carlton, what are your favorite funnel cakes in Kansas City?
Actually, I like going to Tropicana, or as they will say, Palateria Tropicana. There are several around town, and they make very good funnel cakes.
Okay, well, Jill, let's talk about some of your recommendations for foods that, like Carlton was talking about earlier with the restaurant that serves deep-fried Oreos, there are a lot of places where you can get festival-y foods, like you are recommending a Copenhagen dog.
Yeah, the Copenhagen dog is a really interesting twist. Sort of upscale, sort of downscale at the same time. You know, I mean, how much can you dress up a hot dog, right? And so this is a long, skinny hot dog. It's kind of cartoonish in that it's a pickled pulsa, and it sticks out of the end of the bread in kind of a comical, cartoony way. And then it's topped with curry ketchup, mustard, very crisp cucumber, and then topped with mayo and fried onions. And it's just delicious. And that is going to actually be a featured item at the new Parlor KC when Katie takes that very popular. She was serving it at the bar, and it became so popular. Now she's serving it in that new sort of a food hall setting that's coming soon.
So this is at Krogstrom & Club.
Krogstrom Club. It's a Scandinavian restaurant at 3601 Broadway. And she's going to be taking that concept into Parlor KC.
And Jill, okay, so this you are also recommending a festival that I have never been to but have been intrigued by for a long time, the Spinach Festival.
Oh, yeah. So I live in Lenexa. And the history there is that Belgian farmers came to that area and raised... they were known as the capital of spinach at one point in time, which is pretty cool. And so lots of spinach going on there, like the world's largest spinach salad, which they actually have many people with gloved hands tossing in a gigantic sort of wading pool looking
I love that
bowl.
Because, like, the largest fill-in-the-blank foods usually yeah. are, like, not good for you, but we're going to eat the biggest spinach salad.
We're going to make you a little bit healthy. Now, I will say there are food trucks off to the side that probably have some funnel cakes and other fun things.
But toppings for your spinach salad.
Exactly. And I actually got to judge last year. They have a recipe contest. So this is kind of, you see this at the state fair, but you don't see it at as many festivals, as, you know, incorporating a recipe contest of some kind. And I was really, really impressed by how creative people were. Last year, I believe one of the winning entrees was a lemon and spinach crostata with a beautiful lattice top, and it was wonderful. We had a lot of Indian-inflected dishes as well as vegetarian. So people are getting really creative with their spinach, and so that's a really wonderful way. And single food festivals are fairly popular across the country, so I think that's a fun one.
Now, a festival going on right now where I would not have thought about food is the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival.
Well, you know, you've got to feed people wherever you go. And so there's a very large food truck. You won't see this out on the street, but it's called Anison's Mobile Cuisine. And he actually has it towed over there and sets it up for the festival, which ends, I believe, on Sunday. And this is Laotian food, wonderful steamed buns, curries, shish kebabs, papaya salads, those kinds of dishes. And it's really wonderful, high-quality food. I just love finding really wonderful, interesting, high-quality food in places you don't expect it.
Let's talk to Tony, who is calling us from Lawrence, Kansas. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Definitely, I like how, you know, the food trucks are definitely taking over and getting more involved in a lot of the industry. It's helping spread out, you know, bringing the higher quality into, you know, everybody's hands and not at that high price where you have to sit down, and it makes it very mobile.
Well, so we're going to be talking about food truck festivals and food truck foods in a little bit. But Tony, can you tell us about something in particular that you have had at a food truck that inspired you?
Oh, yes. It was some deep fried peaches.
Deep fried peaches.
Deep fried peaches. They were kind of like cinnamon sugary. I don't know if you guys have ever had peach cobbler, but it was kind of along those lines and had the cinnamon and maybe some brown sugar in there. Really light, kind of crispy, not a heavy batter on it.
Where was this?
Wichita, actually. Wichita, Kansas.
Very cool. Well, and that's kind of along the fried things lines. Tony, thank you so much for calling. And the relationship between the food truck food and the festival food, it seems like it's fairly obvious. These are like mobile things that you know, people go and walk around and eat things with their hands, and you've got to be, able to serve things fast. But the fried thing piece of it seems also like a common thread, maybe.
I think so, but I think when you've got the mobile kitchen with you, you can do more. Of course, they're always going to throw in the French fries or the onion rings or the empanadas, you know, later right on site. But there's a lot of prep work that goes into these mobile kitchens. And so they arrive and they're ready to go. I think a lot of people think they're cooking the whole time, on site. But really, that's the difficulty in doing a festival, in organizing one, is you have to figure out where people are going to produce this food.
We are getting a tweet from Jeremy, who says that growing up in Johnson County, he used to go to a fair that had homemade root beer and local honey sticks.
Yum. Hmm.
That's maybe the Johnson County Fair. Talk to me about the food. We've talked about the state fairs. Talk to me about county fair foods.
Oh, county fair foods are good. You know, they have the traditional, you know, fried things that we all love. And I'm thinking homemade root beer, maybe that's actually Lost Trail root beer that you see at a lot of festivals.
It might be. I'm not. Yeah.
It's a great root beer.
But we've talked about lemonade. Tell me more about festival drinks.
Oh, there are so many festival drinks, I tell you. I kind of made a list. There's boba. There's rose water drink. Oh, some kind of rose water drink. There's Pakistan spicy mango shake. I mean, you just go through this list and you're like...
And you're talking about the Ethnic Enrichment Festival.
Exactly. You look at this list and you're like, wow, there's so much more than lemonade, but there's a lot of lemonade too.
Well, we are talking about festival foods, festival drinks, funnel cakes, corn dogs, anything fried on a stick, but maybe something you would not expect to find at a festival or fair. 816-235-2888 is the number to call. The festival or fair you go to or the food you are searching for. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we're talking today with the food critics, Charles Fruza, Jill Silva, Carlton Logan. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey,
hello.
We are talking about the foods you can only get at a festival or fair, or the festival or fair foods that are finding a revival in somewhere, some restaurant or cafe here in town where you can actually somehow enjoy it even without going to a festival or fair. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. And Jill, so we were just talking about food trucks, and you are the organizer of a food truck event.
I am. I started organizing food trucks back when I worked with the Kansas City Star about 8 years ago. It became a very, very popular thing to do, and some of the trucks have come to me and said, you know, let's start something new. So on July 6th, Farm to Market has agreed to allow us to use their parking lot. It's their 25th anniversary, so they're excited to have a little party. And there will be a small number of food trucks there, five of them, that we're going to have a lot of fun with. And if it's successful, we'll go forward. And if it's not, well, you know, we'll let them move on. But I think it's going to be a great time. These trucks are very, very good examples of some of the best food.
Now, I'm kind of looking over some of the things that you are offering, and as far as things that you would get that you would walk around with, kind of a cheese plate surprises me.
Yeah, that one's probably more appropriate for maybe if you're at a winery or you're having a private party or something in the park. But I love the concept of sort of breaking down barriers. You know, what I'm attracted to about the food trucks is that you can take it on the road, but then I'm also interested in how that they can actually do the kinds of food that you can do in a brick and mortar setting. And so, this is just a really clever idea. She's at the farmer's market, so we're starting to see food trucks even at farmer's markets. And you can go up and you can order grilled cheese. All of her cheeses are farmstead cheeses, so they are actually made with the milk on that specific
So
farm.
When you say her, who are you talking about?
I am talking about a woman named Bethany, and her company is Ashen Blue.
And so this is one of the five trucks that will be at your...
Actually, this one will not be at this particular event.
Oh, this is just a favorite food truck.
This is
of
just
yours.
A favorite food truck where I think it's a really fun. Some of the food trucks that will be there will be El Tenedor, Beauty of the Bistro, Crave, Magnolia's on the Move, and Cirque du Sucre.
Well, lots of festivals are starting to bring in food trucks. When KCUR's news intern Aviva Oakson-Haberman went to Boulevardia for us, she talked to a guy who runs a food truck where he serves Brazilian cuisine.
Christian Maciel's mom laughed when he called her asking for help creating the recipes for a restaurant.
She's like, what? Because I never, never cooked my life. You know, so like, Christian, are you sure you open a restaurant?
Christian was sure. When he immigrated from Brazil to the U.S., he wasn't able to find the food he grew up loving.
At first, it was a struggle even for me to survive, I would say, because I gained so much weight by eating everything else.
While Christian wasn't a natural cook, opening a restaurant wasn't completely out of left field. Christian previously worked at Piropos, an Argentinian restaurant in Kansas City.
And when I moved here, I couldn't say a word in English. In 2004, I couldn't say hi. And I started working as a busboy in a restaurant. So as I was learning English, I became a server, barback, bartender, bar manager, floor manager, general manager, and opened my own restaurant.
But there was a problem. Christian didn't know how to cook.
So basically, we called moms, and mom was like, all right, let's go over this. And it took us about a month to figure out our recipes. And we FaceTimed them, and they taught us how to make our menu.
Taste of Brazil opened in 2013 in the River Market. And last year, Christian and his partner expanded by starting a food truck. It's a hot Saturday afternoon, and Christian is standing in his food truck at the Boulevardia Festival. He's wearing a fluorescent pink tank top and black Adidas shorts as he jokes around with customers.
I wish you guys had your drinks.
I wish that too.
Those are so good.
You know, it's fun. We thought about opening a second location, but we'd rather go this route first to get our names out there. And it's so much fun to go to those festivals, you know. Every single weekend, we're a different place.
The food Christian serves is the same as the restaurant. Among his favorites are rice, flavored with garlic, salt, and onion, served with beans. Christian pairs it with his own cilantro chimichurri sauce. And then, there's the cochinillas.
It's a deep fried dough filled with creamy cheese and chicken, marinade chicken. Another one is a deep fried dough filled with ham and cheese, provolone cheese and mozzarella. So those are just delicious.
Look at that. Look at that cochinilla.
Perfect.
Ai, bonitinha, do cochinilla do pai.
That was customer Neja Dukovaku. Making a cochinilla is time intensive. And when Christian first started cooking foods like cochinillas, he didn't love it. But after a while, he grew to find it more relaxing.
Well, I think I learned how to see the beauty and enjoy more of the food. Before, for me, before it was just like, mom always cooked for me, so I just eat and that's it, you know? It was fun and don't have to worry about it.
When his mom came to visit Christian last year, she wanted to know if her cooking lessons worked.
And then she was really surprised how well I followed her instruction and things come out really good, actually. So she keeps saying, like, hers better. Like, I know, I'm not going to argue with you. You are still better.
Christian's wife was also impressed with his cooking. He's a fast learner, and he's now set his sights on learning something new, cooking healthier meals for his family.
KCUR intern Aviva Oaksen-Haberman produced this story for us at the Boulevardia Festival. And so, yeah, the food truck thing is a major staple of festivals now. But I'm going to get back to some of the old school festival favorites with our callers here, because Rhonda is calling us from Kansas City, Missouri, about a corn dog. Rhonda, hello.
Hi.
So, okay, it's not a corn dog, though, right?
No, this is most definitely not a corn dog. There is no corn in this thing. But for folks that have never seen one, they would look like, or they'll people will see them and say, oh, that's a corn dog.
Okay, but no, what is it?
It certainly is not. Okay, it starts off with a hot dog, and then it's got some batter on the outside that they're dipped in, and then they're deep fried like a corn dog would be. But the secret is in this weird batter that's on the outside that is a little bit pancakey-like, but it's super crispy, and there's some kind of secret ingredient in it that if you grew up in southern Johnson County and you went to the old settlers, kind of like Founders Days, where the high school bands play and there's an ice cream social and a big parade, everybody old school southern Johnson County knows what a Grange pup, and it's pronounced G-R-A-N-G-E.
And Grange pup.
Been around. Yeah, it's been around forever.
So it sounds like a hot dog with a pancake around it?
It's a hot dog with a weird batter on the outside that the secret's in this batter. And I have had the kids of the keepers of the secret batter recipe in my class for years. And nope, they will not divulge what is in that batter.
And this festival still goes on. Settlers Festival?
It's called Old Settlers, yeah, and it's kind of an old Founders Day thing. And, I mean, it's just a thing that you go to if you're a kid growing up in southern Johnson County. There's a carnival and huge parade, but those of us that have been doing it our whole lives, you have to go get a Grange pup. And we even send runners from our high school down there to go get them for faculty at school for lunch, and it's hilarious.
Well, Rhonda, thank you for that call. I love how some of these festival foods, you know, it's like if there's that festival that's part of your own community, then the food is also kind of the weird thing that's part of just that community.
Well, like the Polish festival, I would say, in Kansas City, Kansas.
Polski Days.
Isn't there a Slovakian festival there, too?
There's a lot of Greek festivals as well. Yeah, so all of those have a very community sense.
The Sugar Creek Slavic Festival?
Yes, it's wonderful. And, and sometimes in those festivals you can get foods that you can't find in any restaurant in Kansas City. It's a real treat.
Let's talk to Gary in Kansas City. Hi, Gary.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How about you?
All just trying to beat the heat.
What do you want to tell us about?
Well, early days of the Spirit Festival, back in the very early Spirit Festival days, they had somebody came and did alligator on a stick. It was the most incredible thing I've ever had, and I've never seen it since.
Jill, it sounds like Jill has a memory of that.
I don't know that I ate that at the Spirit Fest, but I have had alligator on a stick. And, it's deep fried, and I hate to say it, but I kind of think it tastes like a little lighter than chicken. But pretty much like chicken.
And while we're reminiscing about festival foods gone by, Bob in Brookside, a memory from you too?
Yes. I was wondering if any of the food critics or any listeners remember Martha Kaplan's famous pizza on a stick. It was really big at the Renaissance Festival.
Wasn't that originally a hot dog injected with sauce?
Injected.
It was a secret recipe. Okay.
But wait, how is a hot dog a pizza?
Well, if you wrap dough around it, I guess, and cheese.
Bob, is this the case?
And inject it with tomato sauce.
Right.
Did you like this treat?
Oh, it was wonderful.
If this is the Bob I think it is, I think you sold tons of it.
Well, so I'm curious, though, like, Charles, this was a local institution of some kind?
It was hugely popular when I moved to town in the 80s. And I think people loved it, for one thing, because it was so weird.
So speaking of things that were... So he says this is popular. It was popular at the Renaissance Festival. Carlton, you are recommending a Scotch egg, which you say is also a festival favorite.
Yes. And for those who are not familiar with it, it's a hard-boiled egg that's encased with pork sausage and breaded and fried. And you do find it at a lot of Renaissance festivals. But they also have it at Brady's Public House. I have not had it there. I think Jill has, though.
I have. It's really, really good. Yes.
It's on my list.
And so we are also... Carlton, you have a grilled cheese festival on your list. I didn't know we had a grilled cheese festival.
We do now, and I'm in talk with the people who are organizing this. It's the first one, and it's scheduled for August the 4th, I think, at Berkeley Park.
Carlton, would I be correct in saying that this is not going to be your traditional grilled cheese with American cheese and white bread?
From what I hear, there's going to be all sorts of cheeses, all sorts of breads.
Before we're running out of time, but I have to hear from Gloria because she's telling us about a festival or fair that has amazing pie. Gloria?
Hello?
Yeah, tell us about it.
The Vinland, Kansas Fair is amazing. They have the local people fix the food. There's like a shelter house with screening all around. And every pie you get there is homemade. So, and it's an actual fair. There's a small barn with exhibits in there, things that people have made. So, and there's a little music stage, but it's a small event, but it's incredible. The Vinland, Kansas Fair.
Tell me about a memorable pie you have had there.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I love gooseberry pie, but I don't actually remember getting gooseberry pie there, but I'll say cherry.
Okay, so... Carlton, you looked like you were ready to gasp when she said gooseberry pie.
Gooseberry pie is hard to find, and a lot of people don't like it, but some people love it.
I kind of love it. Charles, on our way out, you're telling us that the Amelia Earhart Festival has those traditional fair foods that...
Listen, what I wouldn't do any day for a corn dog and a candy apple.
So that's on the weekend of July 20th?
Yes.
Okay.
It's coming right up.
Well, we are on our way out now, but Charles Frusa, Jill Silva, Carlton Logan, thank you all so much.
Thank you, Gina.
Carlton is with us from kcfoodguys.com and KC Eats. That's a Facebook page. Jill is an award-winning food editor and reporter, restaurant critic, and stylist. She's working freelance. And Charles is a longtime anchor of these food shows. You can listen back to anything you've heard on KCUR's Central Standard or missed at kcur.org/centralstandard. This show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Coy Duggar, and Suzanne Hogan, with help from intern Trevor Hook. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.